Morning in Montana. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
You're listening to the best of Montana Talks.
All right, just go ahead, John. Oh, right, here we go. I got my microphone on. All right, hey, guys, sorry about that. I should have given our producer, Cade, the heads up there to turn my microphone on. I am largely staying muted here on this Monday morning. As you can tell, I've got a little bit of a nasally-sounding voice, well, a lot of a nasally-sounding voice here this morning. It should be ready to roll by noon, though. Should be ready to roll by noon, because at noon, my wife Jessica and I are both speaking at the Flathead County Republican Women Luncheon. Can't wait to see everybody there. You're going to enjoy hearing my wife speak much more than you're going to enjoy hearing me speak anyway, but she's going to speak first. But by then, I should be done. I should have these splints out of my nose, and I should be able to talk much more clearly by lunchtime today. So I look forward to seeing our friends from the Flathead at the Republican Women Luncheon here today. But we got a great show for you regardless, because thankfully, John Jackson from X, he did a great job filling in for us last week. In fact, I've already been talking with our team. I was like, we need to launch a new show with John at the helm, you know, or maybe get John Jackson and David Noble to do a show together, you know, the Noble Jackson Show or something like that. That would be a ton of fun. But he did a great job filling in last week, so I messaged him over the weekend. I said, John, my nose is going to be a mess still on Monday morning until I get these things out. So would you come back and take over the show? He's doing that again for us here today, taking your phone calls and more. Plus, we've got some great guests coming up, like Rabbi Chaim Bruck from the Jewish Synagogue in Bozeman with his Hanukkah message here today on the first day of Hanukkah. So a lot to come for you here on Montana Talks. John Jackson, thanks for filling in. I'll be back at the phone lines from here, so you can still call in the studio line. John, you take it from here. Thanks for filling in.
All right. Thank you very much, Aaron. Like Aaron said, we are on full normal operations this morning, particularly as far as the phone calls go. You guys call in here 406-294-0970, and Aaron is going to be the guy taking your phone call. He'll be chatting with you, and then he'll pass it to me if I want to comment on your phone call as well. So we're not doing that Teams thing like we were doing last week. Call in straight right in here to the phones. And like Aaron said, we've got some good guests coming up here. Rabbi Chaim Bruck coming up, I believe, at 8:23, and then we've got another guest later in the hour. Should be some good stuff, and we're going to highlight also when we get back here in a minute. We're going to go over the breaking news out here that all of this happened yesterday. Unfortunately, a lot of it is tragic and avoidable tragedies. Unfortunately, these mass shootings done by these. They are all of them. I guarantee you, when we find out this guy up in Providence, Rhode Island at Brown University, we're going to find that he's a wacko leftist. We know these radical Islamists over in Australia are also radical leftists. It's all of it, international and domestic terror inflicted on the citizens of the world by these radical crazies. And all of it was not only predictable, but predicted.
Bullet points.
I'm Evan Brown. There's a new sheriff in town when it comes to Second Amendment enforcement. The Trump administration is making a big change at the U.S. Department of Justice, creating a Second Amendment section dedicated to protecting those firearms with the same level of vigor as the department pursues violations of other civil rights. According to the DOJ's website, the new section will investigate patterns or practices that infringe upon 2A rights of American citizens and will engage in litigation and filed briefs in court proceedings when needed. Firearms rights advocates have long lobbied for federal offices dedicated to preventing Second Amendment violations. The office is already suing the D.C. Police Department over its AR-15 ban. The new Second Amendment section falls under DOJ's Civil Rights Division and U.S. Assistant Attorney General Harmeet Dhillon. And those are your bullet points. I'm Evan Brown, Fox News.
Hey, Clay, if there was a summer camp for critical thinking, we'd be the chief counselors. Those jellyheads in June would be intellectual warriors by August.
Be a lot of fun, too. Some Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure references thrown in.
This podcast, like a daily dose of that, minus the campfires, archery, and pranking the girls.
The bona fide boot camp for critical thinking. You can get in on it for free at the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search our names, Clay and Buck, listen, and subscribe.
Smokey the Bear.
Then you know why Smokey tells you when he sees you passing through. Remember, please be careful, it's the least that you can do.
After 80 years of learning his wildfire prevention tips, Smokey Bear lives within us all. Learn more at SmokeyBear.com. And remember,
only you can prevent wildfires.
Brought to you by the USDA Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
Big topics, big ideas, Big Sky, Montana Talks.
We've got a message here from Right On John in Los Angeles. He says, a number of years ago, I thought about moving to Australia. Then they went woke in a big way and took away most of their guns and rights, just like Canada. Needless to say, I won't move back to Canada or to Australia anytime soon. Yeah, that's one of the things that came out, obviously, with the mass shooting in Australia, is their very, very stringent gun control they have over there. Well, how did that work out for you, guys? And you'll never guess what the reaction from the politicians there in Australia after this horrific shooting is. Is that they want to do more gun control. And you know what's the really tragic, laughing result of this is we mocked. It wasn't just a couple of years ago. We were mocking like the Brits because we were saying, what are they going to do next? Have some kind of knife control? Because then all these stabbings started and machete attacks and all this. What are they going to do? Start knife control? Well, yeah. Yeah, that's exactly what they want to do over there, is now do knife control. They're absolutely ridiculous clowns that will do anything except actually enforce the law and actually put bad guys in jail and keep them in jail. They will walk around their head to get to their ass before they do any of that. And to recap that, you guys haven't heard from last night, a horrific mass shooting in Australia at Bondi Beach, targeting a Hanukkah celebration by Jewish folks there. Two radical Islamists started open firing on a crowd there at the beach. Last count I had was 15 dead, 40 people injured by these animals. One of them is already dead. There were a father and son team. One is already dead. The father's dead. The son apparently critically injured, but still alive. Some heroics that happened during this is that a bystander saw this happening, saw one of the guys, and rushed him with his bare hands, grabbed the guy, took his rifle away from him. The good guy was then shot by bad guy's partner, shot in the hand and in the shoulder. But an amazing piece of heroism by this civilian, as apparently a total of, at this point, four police officers, three of them women, sat by and did nothing. For, I've heard, 11 minutes. This shooting went on for 11 minutes. As several of these police officers sat there and did nothing, actively hid from this. Just really, really, you just can't even believe this when you hear it. And this is a result of Australia doing the same thing that the EU has done and that the United States did under Joe Biden, was actively recruit and bring in the scum of the third world into their countries and set them loose like a bunch of rabid dogs onto the public. That's what has happened here. Make no mistake. And in response to this, the Prime Minister of Australia is talking this morning about white supremacy being a problem there. These killings and all of this, they don't care at all. These left-wing communists there in Australia, EU, here, right here in the United States, they do not care at all. If they got to break a couple of eggs to make this communist omelet, they're just fine with it. And this is just more terror inflicted on their people. And what is it all about in the end? Every bit of this is one long march to topple the entire way of government and way of life in these countries. Because, guys, here's the sneaky little secret that we've been talking about. We've been seeing from these people back since 2016. They're tired of this democracy stuff, guys. They're tired of elections. They're tired of you electing the wrong people. They don't think you're smart enough to elect the right people out here, so they're just done with all of this stuff. They hate coming to you for your money, asking you for your donations every 2, 4, 6 years. They want permanent power, period. They want the entire United States to be just like California or Illinois, in which no matter what, every single position out there is occupied by a left-wing Democrat all the way up, you know, from dog catcher up to governor. They want one-party rule, and they want it all under a new system of government. This Constitution and all these pesky little rights that all you peasants have out here, they are sick of all of that. They're tired of you being able to talk and talk back to them, speak back to them, and speak ill of them, and mock them, and make fun of them. They're tired of all that. They're tired of you having a gun. Because, by God, they want you defenseless, so you will always vote for more taxes these taxes are supposedly going to pay for more police to protect you. They want you defenseless. They want you shut up. And either of those, if they don't get that, they want you in jail or dead. Okay, these people are serious. It's not even a game anymore, and every step they take is towards that end.
We'll be back with more of the Best of Montana Talks.
Donald Trump's America.
President Trump spoke to the nation to recap the first year of his second term. He discussed the global reach of what he said is his favorite word, tariffs.
Which for many decades have been used successfully by other countries against us, but not anymore.
President Trump said the tariffs of foreign nations, both allies and adversaries, have been lucrative for America, and companies are coming back because of it.
They're building factories and plants at levels we haven't seen. AI, automobiles, we're doing what nobody thought was even possible.
Moving forward, he plans to continue recouping what he says other administrations have cost us.
Companies know that if they build in America, there are no tariffs.
How tariffs proceed could depend on a Supreme Court decision on that policy. Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent told Fox Business he expects that ruling could come in January. Grinnell Scott, Fox News.
Back now with the Best of Montana Talks.
Montana Talks, uniting the Treasure State, one conversation at a time. Here's your host, Aaron Flint.
We should have a guest on the line here any minute. That's going to be Rabbi Chaim Bruck from Bozeman. We're waiting for him to call in, but we'll just keep on rolling until we get him on the line. The other tragic news from overnight was a mass shooting at Brown University in Providence, Rhode Island. By last count, you have 2 killed and 9 wounded. An unknown suspect went into a classroom right there at Brown and just started shooting up the place. The classroom of what I'm told is Professor Rachel Friedberg, a Jewish professor, and also teaches Jewish studies. And the even worse tragedy of this is that they have no suspect. They have no idea who did this, even though apparently they're saying that on the Brown campus, there are over 800 cameras ostensibly viewing every piece of life that goes on there. This guy walked into this campus, shot up the place, and walked out. And then the law enforcement up there in Providence, Rhode Island, have detained two people so far and let them both go. And the second guy they detained, they claimed out here that they had geolocated his phone from the university back to a hotel room, and it sure sounded like it was him. And a name even got released out here on social media of the suspect. And now it turns out it wasn't him at all. This really is a clown show going on up there, and you would just certainly hope that some piece of evidence is being followed right now that's going to catch this guy, because we just simply cannot have mass shooters walk into a very, very public area like this with 800 cameras and shoot up the place, and we have law enforcement that cannot catch the guy. That is, and to have two mass shootings here that look like, on the first one in Australia was obviously a direct attack at Jewish people, and possibly this one at Brown was also a similar anti-Semitic attack. We don't know that for sure, but oh my God, you're seeing this across the world right here during Hanukkah. Hanukkah is happening right now. And it's very obvious that's one of the reasons that these shootings are going on. Really, really nasty stuff. It is domestic terror and Islamic terror. It's been going on for a very long time, and it's got to stop. And it all goes back to what we talked about a minute ago, is fear. That fear has got to be reinstilled in the bad people out there. Now, Caden is telling me right now we have on the line, we have Rabbi Chaim Bruck. Are you there, sir?
Good morning. Good morning. Happy Hanukkah.
Happy Hanukkah, sir. Go ahead. What did you want to tell everybody?
Well, I wanted to, first of all, wish Montana a happy Hanukkah. Today is the first day of an eight-day celebration. And for the Jewish community, sadly, it's another holiday in which we have to balance our sadness and mourning due to what happened to our beautiful colleagues and Jewish community in Sydney, Australia, gunned down, massacred during a Hanukkah celebration of the first night of Hanukkah. But at the same time, we study the story of Hanukkah, we study the story of Judah the Maccabee, and we study the reality of history and religious persecution. And the Jewish people are not the only people that have experienced religious persecution, but we're definitely at the forefront of those who have been the recipient of religious persecution. And what Judah the Maccabee taught us during Hanukkah is that we don't surrender, we don't cower. We keep lighting our menorahs, we keep lighting up the world. And the enemies of freedom and the enemies of diversity and the enemies of goodness, the evil forces that exist in this world, where a father and son will wake up in the morning and decide together to go and shoot up a bunch of innocent Jews and bystanders who came to light a menorah at Bondi Beach, they will never defeat the Jewish people. They will never defeat the forces of goodness. They will never defeat Western civilization. And it's high time for the people of Montana, the people of America, and the entire Western civilization to wake up and realize that not all people are compatible. Not all cultures are compatible. There's Hellenists, and there's the people that fight the Hellenists. There are those that love freedom and those that fight freedom. There are those that are God-fearing and love their neighbor as themselves, and they believe and live and let live, and that those that don't. And Hanukkah reminds us that every person has a choice to make. Are we going to be the ones lighting the menorah? Are we going to be the ones shooting up with AK-47s? Are we going to be the one that believe in diversity, where a Christian can celebrate Christmas and a Jew can celebrate Hanukkah and a Muslim can celebrate Ramadan and a person can celebrate Kwanzaa, and I'm perfectly fine with that because they're not infringing on my ability to celebrate my holiday. So are we going to stand for religious freedom, or are we going to say we're going to let the fringes on the right and on the left, from the Mehdi Hassans on the left to the Candace Owens on the right, are we going to allow them to divide our country and bring back ancient anti-Semitic blood libels? And that's a choice we get to make, and I think Montana's been making a great choice. Montana's leadership, political leadership, our local neighbors have been incredible in their support of the Jewish community, and we are grateful for that. We don't take that for granted. And, Sunday night we'll light a big menorah in downtown Bozeman with wonderful dignitaries. Tonight we'll be lighting in Livingston. There was a menorah lighting last night in two places, in Big Sky, in Missoula. There was a menorah parade. In Whitefish, there was a menorah lighting last night. In Great Falls, there was a Hanukkah celebration last night. In Billings, if you look at the Billings Gazette, Billings had a big menorah lighting at the Yellowstone County Courthouse yesterday, including with the mayor of Billings and other dignitaries. And so we are going to continue to illuminate. We're going to continue to shine our menorahs. And we're going to hope and pray that our friends continue to stand with us as we fight evil forces that seek to bring negativity and evil into our world.
Rabbi, quick question. Do you happen to have on your end, do you have a phone ringing anywhere?
I do not.
Is a phone ringing in the background?
There is no phone ringing on my end.
Okay, we've got a phone ringing here into the studio, right in my ear. We can't find the source, and we just wanted to check if it was coming from you.
I do not have anyone or anything next to me where I am. I'm in a secure location with no other technology.
It's interesting that you brought up Candace Owens. Boy, that's an interesting topic, isn't it? Here we had this black female, a conservative, who just, not too long ago, a year or two ago, looked as though she was going to be the next rising star. Just had everything going for her. And then kind of like Tucker Carlson, seemed just instantly lose her mind. And no one can put any sense to it. At least I haven't been able to.
I think that, first of all, it's an obligation of people on the right. And I think many are doing it now, but it took a little too long for people on the right to say, you know what, not in our town, not in our party. You want to be an anti-Semite? You know, it's funny that the people who claim that the American government is being run by Israel, which is a funny joke in itself, but somehow when Qatar and Qatar is giving them lots and lots of money and suddenly they're getting lots and lots of trips to Doha and to Qatar, suddenly they're changing their tune about the Jews and about Israel. So, I mean, Tucker and Candace and all of them, I mean, I know where they stand, and I know that they don't represent the majority of good people in this country, but too many young people are listening to them, and it's not only going to affect the Jews. The Jews are only the first ones. It eventually ends up with look what they're doing to Charlie Kirk's family. I mean, think of that. The woman lost her husband in an assassination, and she has to defend herself against crazy people on the right who are spewing, ancient tropes and ancient, honestly, just crazy things about the Jewish people and about Charlie Kirk and every conspiracy. I mean, there's people now online saying, I feel bad even repeating it, that the shooting in Australia was what do they call it, a something flag op, where they, it was an inside job to make the Muslims look bad. I mean, do they really think that Jews are shooting up menorah celebrations, Hanukkah celebrations? There's nothing that Jews want other than to celebrate our faith and our history privately, publicly. You've never seen a guy go, and I said this to Aaron many times on the radio, you've never seen a person say, oh, I'm about to drive through this Jewish neighborhood, I better watch out, I might get hurt, I might get mugged, I might get beaten. It just doesn't exist. That's not who we are. Israel defending its country, that's a nationalistic choice every country has to make about defending its citizens. But when you meet an individual Jew, or you come to a Jewish community anywhere across the world, from Honolulu to Billings to Kalispell, you're not going to find hatred. You're not going to find divisiveness. You're not going to find negativity. You're going to find a group of people who are clinging to 3,000 plus years of their beautiful history, going back to Moses at Sinai, and even further, going back to Abraham and Sarah, Isaac and Rebecca, Jacob and Leah and Rachel, the matriarchs and patriarchs of Judaism. That's all we want. We want to raise our children with kindness and sensitivity to follow the commandments of the Bible, of the 613 commandments of the Old Testament, of the Torah.
We don't look to harm people. We don't look to bother people. I love seeing church parking lots that are full, which means people are clinging to their faith. I love seeing people who follow their traditions that they're carrying on from their ancestors. But when you start shooting, and I have to, you know, when Jewish people have to think 1,000 times before they come to a menorah lighting because they don't know what crazy person's going to show up and shoot it up. And that's not just in Australia. You know, first it was Australia, then it was the rabbi, you know, butchered in Dubai, and then the rabbi shot up in Mumbai, and then there was a synagogue in Pittsburgh, a synagogue in Poway. It's becoming a trend, and it's the obligation of every one of us freedom-loving, Western civilization-loving people to stand up and say, not in my town, not in my state, not in my community. I will commend Governor Gianforte, both Senator Daines and Sheehy, who both reached out to me immediately yesterday morning when the news came out of Australia directly. He said, you know, there's a difference between the politicians who say things in public, but the ones who actually reach out to the Jewish community personally, and both Senators Daines and Sheehy reached out. We are very
grateful. Right, we're coming right up to the break here. If you want to stick around, and we'll get you right when we get back.
Stay with us for more Best of Montana Talks.
You're listening to the Best of Montana Talks.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
I had some breaking news here I wanted to get your reaction to. It plays on exactly what we're talking about. Is breaking 20 minutes ago, President Trump's FBI has foiled an Islamic far-left pro-Palestinian bombing that was set to take place in Los Angeles for New Year's Eve. The attack was going to use IEDs and target 5 locations in L.A. It was organized by members of a pro-Palestinian extremist group. 4 people have been arrested. Imagine the destruction of IEDs going off at 5 locations.
I did not hear that. Obviously, you said it's breaking news, and it doesn't surprise me. The last 2.5 years, Americans have, for the most part, been fairly silent about this pro-Palestinian movement, which has nothing to do with caring about Palestinians, and it has everything to do with hating America, hating Jews, hating America. They burn American flags. They trash. Look, they shot up our National Guard soldiers in Washington. This movement that has started, and you know, it's followed October 7th when Jews were massacred. You ask yourself, how is it possible? But by October 8th and 9th, there were tens of thousands of college kids all over the country that suddenly became super heavenly caring, you know, super heavily caring about a nation that they couldn't even find them on a map. They wouldn't know where Israel is. They wouldn't know where Gaza is. And yet there's been thousands of cases with Sudan and then the Congo and Ukraine and Russia. And you know, every place you turn, there's major issues, and they never talk about it. They never stand for the people of Darfur, the people of, you know, of Somalia, but suddenly everyone cares about Gaza. It was a paid op, and it worked. Qatar and Iran, they're paying people in the United States. They're paying people from Antifa to work closely with this pro-Palestinian movement where you have ludicrous things like queers for Palestine. If a queer went to Palestine, they'd be thrown off a rooftop. And if a queer went to Israel, they'd be fine because it's a democratic country. So my point is that when you hear news like that, about IEDs and bombs and threats, and you know they can't win the war with debates, they can't win the conversation. So you resort to violence. In my world, what that does is it makes a lot of people despondent. It makes a lot of Americans ask themselves, does America have a bright future? Will we overcome this threat where you have people that have come from other countries and indoctrinated even some people who are Americans from birth to believe that America is a bad place? Even though I know as a Jew that America is the greatest country. I never miss an election. I love this country. I love the freedom that it gives me, and I love the freedom that it gave my grandfather when he escaped Europe during the Holocaust. But when my grandfather came here, the first thing he did was learn English, opened up a butcher shop. He paid his taxes for 70 years as a butcher, and he loved this country. He appreciated this country. He didn't trash the country. We kept the American flag sacred, and that's what Jews do until this very day. And so America has a choice. Am I going to side with those who burned the American flag in the name of Palestine? Or are we going to side with the Jewish community who practices their faith but loves the country that allows them to do that and appreciates the blessing of this country? And, you know, One of the most beautiful things about the Hanukkah story is that after a three-year war where the Jews finally beat the Assyrian Greeks, so they went to search for the pure oil to light the menorah, the candelabra, and the holy temple in Jerusalem. And by the way, that was about 800, what I just heard recently, called BCI, before the era of Islam. Islam didn't even exist as a religion during the story of Hanukkah. It was 800 years before Hanukkah. But what they did was they recognized that we should never stop searching and yearning for miracles. Even when the world is dark, and even when there's so many forces of evil that are trying to go after our way of life, we don't stop searching for the pure oil, for the purity, for the holiness, for the goodness, and for the miracles. Because God is great, and miracles are not only possible, but they happen all the time, and it's our job just to search for them and open our eyes to see the incredible gift that God gives. I'm standing right now, I'm looking at the Bridger Mountains, and I'm looking on the other side to the sunrise over Mount Ellis here in Bozeman. And it's an incredible miracle, and God is giving us that miracle today, so we're not going to allow them to take us down. Yes, we are mourning. Yes, we are crying for our brothers and sisters in Australia, but we're not cowering. We're not surrendering. We'll keep lighting menorahs, and we'll do so publicly. We'll do so, obviously, we have to have more security because we have to be careful. You have to be smart, so we will have more security. But at the same time, we're not going to hide in our basements. We're not going to hide in our barn houses. We're going to keep lighting and lighting and lighting, because the only language that evil speaks is more illumination and more brightness and more holiness.
Rabbi, thank you very much for the call there.
And have a wonderful Hanukkah. Thanks for having me.
You know what makes me laugh all the time is, you know, like the rabbi was talking about in the previous segment, is what everybody tries to put on Israel and the Jews. And you just wouldn't believe it. You see some of the stuff out here on social media. It's almost like the CIA. These people out here and the social media conspiracy theorists have elevated the state of Israel to this level of the CIA, in which they are allegedly behind every single thing that happens out here in the world, was somehow manipulated by Israel. Like I said, it's the same thing they'll say about the CIA. If Israel had the power that these conspiracy people out here think they do, they would rule the world. They would be a superpower above the United States. It is just simply ridiculous to hear some of their theories about, oh no, the Mossad did this and Israel did that. It's like I said, anything that comes in, they do the same thing with the CIA. Oh no, the CIA did it. Oh, the CIA did this and blah blah blah. Come on, guys. You know, I mean. I can laugh at this stuff. I can't because I was a federal agent myself with a alphabet agency for 30 years, and I heard all the stuff said about us. So that's why I can laugh at this stuff. All right, we have Henry Kriegel on the line from AFP. Good morning, Henry.
Hey, good morning. How are you?
Good, good. What do you have for us this morning, sir?
Well, following up on my friend Rabbi Chaim, who operates out of here in Bozeman, we share the same Hebrew name. That's my name as well. But any case, following up on the permit reform bill that I talked about last Monday, that would speed up and accelerate the permitting process. As I mentioned before, some projects like fracking in Utah take up to 10 to 12 years to approve, and that's just way too long and way too costly, and those costs are passed down to consumers. Well, the president has had enough of it, and he's issued some executive orders. However, we need to ensconce that into legislation, and there is a bill called the Permit Act, H.R. 3898, which I'm happy to report passed out of the House by a vote of 221 to 205. With a half dozen Democrats siding with the Republicans to get that through. This is one of several bills that AFP is advocating for, as energy dominance, energy abundance is one of our top federal priorities. We've been lobbying and working very hard on it. As you probably know, we were key sponsors of the governor's summit on energy here in Bozeman back in October, and we will continue to harp on this issue because We have vast oil and natural gas reserves. And in Montana, in our region, we have the cleanest coal in the nation. And we need to leverage that. So happy to report on that.
Yeah, as everybody should know, the economy, everything about the economy rests on oil, oil and gas. Because every product that you get, that you consume, arrives to you on some kind of gas-powered, oil-powered vehicle. And when those prices come down, everything else comes down. And it also releases us from any kind of dependence on these foreign nations that day-to-day, month-to-month, could be our friends and could not be.
Oh, absolutely. You know, that's a real key issue. And the previous administration was not a friend of domestic energy production. In fact, Biden's clean energy mandates resulted, where states that implemented it, resulted in a 32% increase in energy costs passed down to consumers. Thankfully, Trump dumped those mandates, and which was a big blow to the EV market, because the EV market has not developed automobiles that I can actually run long distances on electricity, and it costs more to power EV vehicles than it does gas-powered vehicles. So thank this administration for doing the right thing.
Yeah, and hopefully you're seeing and hearing from auto dealers all across the country that whole EV thing is dead. They can't get rid of these things. They can't give them away. Hey, Henry, we are coming up to the break, and I know we ran along with the rabbi. Do you want to come back after this break and keep on? Or are you good?
Absolutely. Glad to be here with you.
All right, good deal. We're coming up here in just a second. We will be right back with Henry Kriegel.
We'll be back with more of the Best of Montana Talks.
Turn up your radio. Here's the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
I believe that the president's actions have taken rocket fuel to Reagan's model. Not only did he pass the largest tax cuts in history, but he also left enough runway for it to start getting into the bloodstream of the economy. Then the rocket fuel comes from the trillions and trillions of dollars in committed investments in manufacturing, bringing back automobile manufacturing, pharmaceutical manufacturing, for example, semiconductor chip manufacturing, seeking, you know, rare earth minerals. Then you add more accelerant to the process by energy dominant policies that the president's adopted. Well, it's already resulting in the lowest gas prices now that we've had in nearly 5 years.
Check out the Sean Hannity radio show later today, right here.
Hey, you've heard me talk about Ease, the official health solution, right here on the Sean Hannity show. Now that all the noise about Obamacare subsidies is thankfully behind us, at least for now, I want you and your family to focus on the best health care for the best price. Now, Ease Total Comprehensive Health is great for small business owners, and it also is better coverage for a lower price than what they're offering from the government. It's not insurance, it's better. It has no deductibles, no out-of-network nonsense. It costs much less than traditional plans. It comes with a free service that will help everyone find the best care. Plus, the folks that distribute Ease will show you how to stay compliant with the ACA. Now, if you own or work for a small business, you got to check out this company. You owe it to yourself. You owe it to your family. You owe it to your employees. Call them now, 888-888-EASE-123. Or go to their website, EASEFOREveryone.com/Sean. 888-EASE-123.
Fox Country.
I'm Michelle Polino. Miranda Lambert is set to executive produce a new untitled scripted series for Hulu, inspired by her music catalog. According to Deadline, Sony Pictures Television is currently developing the project, described as Big Little Lies with a honky-tonk edge. The show centers on a complicated friendship between two women, tested when one helps the other escape an abusive marriage. Hoping for a fresh start, the pair settle in a small Texas town, only to discover that reinvention comes with its own cost. Trace Atkins is hitting the road to celebrate three decades in country music. The Trace Atkins 30th Anniversary Tour commemorates the release of his platinum-certified debut album, Dreaming Out Loud, The trek kicks off January 16th at the Oxford Performing Arts Center in Oxford, Alabama, and runs through September with stops across the country. That's Fox Country on Fox News.
Broadcasting. You're listening to a best of Montana Talks. Hold your phone calls for today.
Aaron Flint.
We're back with Henry Kriegel from AFP. It's funny, when we do these, like right now with Henry, we're doing a Teams call. And I cannot hear, normally I hear the music, so I know where we are in the break and we're coming back. We're going to see, when I were on that Teams call, I can't hear it at all. So I'm having to watch this ticker here. And now Caden just gave me the 3-2-1 to let me know we were back on. But here we are. What else did you have to talk about, Henry?
Oh, hey, I just wanted to share that, you know, our on a state level, our accountability project is in full swing. As you probably know, we did hold some Republican legislators accountable for their bad vote on HB2 that funds the state operations. It resulted in a 13.5% increase in the state budget, as confirmed by the National Association of State Budget Officers and others. And we have some more in store. So we're having fun with that. We're getting a little bit of blowback. But I think those we're holding accountable should explain themselves to Montanans as to why they did what they did. So just wanted to share that with our listeners this morning, that is still moving forward. And I know we're all getting ready to celebrate the holidays, and it's a festive time of year. And I just want to wish you and Aaron and Caden and everybody over at Town Square Media our best from Americans for Prosperity. We greatly appreciate what you guys are doing, offering cutting-edge information. I got to give hats off to you for subbing in for Aaron, getting up super early in the morning. That is not an easy thing to do. And for Aaron, for over the years, he's been so constant and consistent and steady and everywhere across the state. Hats off to my friend Aaron. And if we don't connect before Christmas, Merry Christmas to you and everybody over there at Town Square Media.
Thank you very much, Henry. And we've got two things on our plate here in Montana as I see it right now, and that is these judges that we have got to kick out of office from the district level all the way up to the Supreme Court, and we've also got to deal with our rhino problem here. And I think that's what you're talking about holding people accountable. And Godspeed, go forward, do more, put the boots to these people. We cannot be another national embarrassment with our next legislative session.
Well, we got a lot of work ahead of us on the judicial reform side of things. We didn't get any bills passed to allow for the freedom of association of judges to declare their party affiliation. And now we might deal with a constitutional initiative that the other side, the progressives, are putting forward to prohibit judges from their right of free association in declaring their party affiliation. That would be a bad deal and make it more difficult. That would just make it harder for us to get information about constitutionalists and textualists like Dan Wilson running for the state Supreme Court.
Yeah, and we've talked about that a bunch on Aaron's show here. We always get outspent in those judicial races. Crazy money comes in here, and they put up they've got the posters and the billboards and the signs everywhere, and then all they got to do is tell everybody, oh, this is so justice is a fourth generation rancher here from Montana, and next thing you know, this person's getting elected when nobody has the people that voted for that person really have no idea who they are, what they stand for. And what I tell everybody is, don't even mark that oval until you have done your research. So if you just called and asked somebody, who is this judge? Who should I vote for here?
You're absolutely spot on. And we need more information out there. And voters deserve to know if their judicial candidate is aligned with one party or the other. Not because we want them to judge based upon a party platform, but because those who identify themselves as Republican tend to largely be constitutionalists, or they will interpret the law as it was written when it was written. And that's what we need: fair, unbiased, impartial judges who don't legislate from the bench and take over the role of the other branch of government.
Thank you for the call, sir. We are at the top of the break. See you back here in a minute.
All right, you take care.
I'm Ryan Blaney, a third-generation race car driver, and I dedicate a lot of my time going fast. But when my grandpa was diagnosed with Alzheimer's, it was a very unexpected bump in the road for us. It's important to notice if older family members are acting differently or having trouble with routine tasks. Early detection of Alzheimer's can give your family time to explore support services and access available treatments. If you or your family are noticing changes, it could be Alzheimer's. Talk about seeing a doctor together. Visit alz.org/time-to-talk. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
You got me!
The galaxy is safe once again.
Sometimes kids play with pretend guns. It's up to us to make sure they don't play with real ones. Keep yours stored locked and unloaded. Learn more at nfamilyfire.org. Brought to you by nfamilyfire, Brady, and the Ad Council.